Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency
tax.
And the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice because the time for choosing is drawing near.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
Sounded so good, we wanted to hear it twice.
Well, it's all about the hillbilly shoes,
you
Dean.
You better believe it. How you doing tonight, Greg?
Well, I tell you what, I am excited to be a guest host for my brother, Kevin Harned, tonight.
Who is not here this evening. Kevin is running for county council.
In Jefferson County, Missouri.
Yes, he is.
Trying to bring some good conservative views into the county. We're pretty much a brand new and infant county charter.
Right.
And they've had, I think, one whole term is all that we've had elected so far.
One whole term.
One whole term.
And
so
we
need
change.
He's trying to replace one of the old heads
yes.
of state here.
Yes. Well, we hope he gets in there. Kevin, I've told him for years that he's missed his calling, so I'm glad he's getting out there. He's going to do well. And Greg, I think we should say you're Kevin's brother. I have known you for years. You are also the host. You have your own show, Right Night, with Greg Harned. Anybody can find that out there. It's on YouTube, RadioRocket.net. Where are you, Greg?
iTunes.
You're everywhere.
All over the place.
That's nice.
Yeah, but I do more of a music interview than I do politics.
Normally.
You know? Normally. But you know I am politically minded.
Very much so.
And as we've had several episodes of self.
Yes, we have. Well, there's no one I'd rather have along. When Kevin wasn't going to be here, your name was the first one that came up.
And I tell you what, I just like how we're fluffing us up.
Yeah, well, you know what? We've got another hour. Let's just stroke our egos.
Talk about it. And I must add that you look extremely striking tonight.
Hey, thank you. Since we don't have video, I'm going to take that compliment. Being the 6'5" Adonis that I am. No, that's not true.
But they don't know the difference. So
that's right.
I believe you are.
And have you been listening to all the things going on out there these days? We're having some real problems.
Well, I tell you, I have tried to hide in a shell and pretend that this isn't really going on. I've tried that.
Does it work?
No.
Oh, I was going to go home and try that.
No, it doesn't work. They're all over us. I mean, the idiocy coming out of Washington, D.C.
is
hard to escape.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I've actually been very blessed to have run into the Harned fellows about a decade ago. I was not politically minded whatsoever. And, you know, Greg, it's just the more I learn and the more I listen to the radio throughout the day, I was telling you earlier, it's driving me crazy.
I tell you, and all we do is vote. I mean, really.
That is true.
Or to blog.
Or to blog, and the blogging is great. What can we do to get out there and get people? Obviously, you know, the vote's going to be tough. As I'm listening to the upcoming election right now, I'm getting all the, you know, as anything that I see, I'm reading stuff off my phone on CNN. I told Kevin last week, oh, this is a great one. It said, I don't know if this was a quote from our president, but here our ambassador over there that got killed in Libya was still alive, and they were screaming, Allah Akbar, he's still alive, and drug him out into the street, and he was still coherent, so they took him to the hospital. That's what I read. That's not exactly the way it went down. So as I'm hearing, actually, they drug him through the street, and that was his demise, and they do have video of this. And I've talked to you a little bit about this before, but I never really, you know, certainly not on the air. What is your take on why all the media is putting this spin on it and keeping us in the dark, let's say? Because, you know, if there's a country or multiple countries that hate us, that want to come after us, infiltrate from inside, anything they'd want to do, wouldn't you want the people within your nation to know?
Well, I would.
Yes.
But I believe there's folks who are in charge who do not.
And why?
I think they want to put bags over our heads and tell us that, you know, the rainbows are all over. And,
right.
And that we should follow their lead.
Well, I know. And I know they would want us, obviously, to be reelecting Barack Obama this next time through. But I think it's deeper than that.
Well, it's much, I personally feel that it's much deeper. Now, I don't know if anybody wants to really hear what I feel, but I do believe that, you know, it is a world plan.
There we go.
Yeah, and I do believe that, you know, keep mushrooms in the dark. What they know, they don't pass on.
Well put.
I mean, they do not want us alerted, nor stampeding Washington, D.C., demanding that they really do what's right for a change.
No, they certainly don't.
I mean, really, they don't. So they know. I just read today. Of course, everybody else that really knows how to turn the computer on that is listening, and thank you very much for tuning in.
Yes.
To Hillbilly Logic. But, I mean, I saw tonight, it's terrorist. It's been officially declared by the administration that this was a terrorist act, more like a single group act rather than a mob that is a country that we have supported them taking over this nation.
Right.
And the Muslim Brotherhood and the groups that are over there. And they're not our friends, but we want them. The administration is minimalizing that.
Yes, they are.
And acting as if it's just a terrorist group.
I'm going to be honest with you. I just heard about the Muslim Brotherhood recently. And I know everyone was kept in the dark. Well, I think we first heard about them as a government, I've heard, in 2004. But I don't think anyone ever heard about it on the airwaves until 6 months ago.
No.
On the last raid. And this is something, once again, I just feel this is something so much deeper than Democrat or Republican. They're trying to bring down America. And everything I'm seeing, it's happening from the inside.
Well, they've not made it a secret.
No, they haven't. Not at all.
I mean, their leaders, these nations' leadership.
Who come to our White House. Yes.
And are welcome with open arms.
Yes, sir.
To our White House. Because we're your friend. We're going to talk you into submission.
Well, and this is part of their plan is, you know, they're not going to be cutting off everyone's heads. They're going to come out and they're actually going to do it through kindness and caring. So what is our position? All we do is buy people off. Really? I'll give you $1 billion that we don't have.
Right.
Also,
we're going to give you $1 billion and, you know, kind of keep this stuff at bay.
We're getting ready to do that with Egypt. $1.5 billion. Which we don't have.
Does anybody really know how to explain a checkbook to the United States government?
I had that in high school.
Because I could go to my local bank and they will explain it to me very well.
Very clearly. No doubt.
No, that million-dollar check you're trying to write out, Mr. Hornet, will not
cash?
Yeah. And I could say, yeah, but I'm going to do a new budget in the future and I'm going to put in there that $1 million.
And then some.
Yeah.
A little something for you.
Right.
And I guess that's how we got into this mess in the first place.
It is. Well, we've segued out of the Muslim Brotherhood right into our financial crisis.
Yeah, that we did, and which is looking no better.
No.
Sadly.
No.
I'm watching it go down. You know, my wife and I were talking the other day. I'll tell you this. She works in a bank. Just gotten on at the start of this year as a closer. And she felt And I'm sure when you're an overworked closer, you think that America's moving again because she's seeing loans actually closing. But everyone I'm talking to out there, and myself included, I'm in the union as a taper, a drywall finisher, and I know many of my brothers are sitting at home right now. No one's working.
Your union has lost in the last 4 years approximately 1,200 members.
Is that right? Greg's in the union, too. Might as well let everybody know. What did we start with? Let's get totally open here.
We started with what? Well, you mean from the beginning? We started with one. And then two people got together.
No.
And they called that a union.
Do we have 24 and now we're down to 12? Do we lose half?
No, we had 30, about 32, I think, and we're down
We're down to
about 2,000, and with about another 400 of those not reporting any hours. So it's pretty gloomy.
It is gloomy.
I asked an electrician, and he said, well, he didn't even want to give me numbers. It hadn't changed for so long.
Oh, no kidding.
So it's a bad economy. We don't have to tell anybody that. I don't really buy. I mean, I just saw a report that, hey, house pricing will rise for the first time in 5 years.
I saw that.
And that consumer confidence is going to jump up, and perhaps people will start making those big purchase orders.
Right.
Isn't that what got us into this to begin with?
It sure is.
I mean, the government, they almost insist that we buy more than we take in.
Absolutely. Oh, they enjoy it.
Let's stimulate the economy by going in debt.
Well, they kind of do the same
practice what we do. That's what they're saying, right?
Yes. But then they get mad at us when we put, you know, $20,000 on our credit card and make the minimum payment, and then we get in the hole. We can't just print more money to pay off our credit card.
Right.
Well, we could. Well, we can't.
Not legally.
Let me stop right there. Right. But I'm just watching, and I hear that I know Greece, Egypt. It seems, is there anybody that's on a firm financial ground? Other than China? I'm assuming China is because they have all our money.
Well, I'm assuming China is until we can't deal with default.
You know, wars have been fought for a lot less than what we owe China.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and that's
scary. You know, my father used to always say, you know what, who cares? Everybody was ranting when I was a young man. Everybody was ranting that Japan is buying up the United States, which they bought up.
Which they did.
Hawaii. And they did.
Yes.
And that we're not going to own the United States as American citizens any longer. And he went, oh, I'd say we sell it to them. And then when we get tired of seeing them over here, we take it back.
Oh.
And you know, when I was young, I kind of laughed about it, just as you did.
Yeah.
But it's really not a bad plan.
It's not a horrible plan.
No.
I know your dad. And he's a vet, and that was coming with some comedy.
Right.
From him. But you know what? Things are funny when there's a little bit of truth.
Absolutely.
And that is one of them right there. We talked about that just earlier. That is what we were founded upon. Greg and I were talking about gun laws. We're going to have a clip. We have Matt Gumbersall in the studio with us before, and he had done some, actually, he had given us some wonderful information on Missouri gun laws, and we've got that clip coming up for you right at about 8:20. Tonight, but you and I were talking about what this country was founded on.
Right. I mean, just because something applies in Europe,
right?
I mean, these ideological people who are now governing, unfortunately for us, who don't have enough sense to vote in good politicians, if
right.
there's such a thing. It's like saying good lawyers. But I do know one. His name's Dave Rowland. But anyway.
Cha-ching!
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah. But anyway, we were, I mean, our whole basis of the founding of America
yes.
was based upon gun ownership, as opposed to old Europe that set up there. It went with what? Bows and arrows and clubs, then swords and spears, and then they finally got into firearms. But they had a very civilized firearm battle, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, let's march.
Oh, 20 steps away
yeah,
from one another.
From each other, and we'll line up all the least popular guys on the front row, and then we'll just take practice shooting one another until somebody either runs out of ammo
right.
or it rains, and we shut the fight down for a day or two until it quits raining. Then we'll resume the battle I mean, they don't. They really never understood firearms.
No.
So all the dissidents come out seeking religious freedom. By the way, for you folks that really don't know our history here in the United States,
that is
came
correct.
Over here,
yes.
And they were very serious about religious freedom, and they were very serious about living. So they became quite fluent with a rifle or a pistol. And our whole history has been based upon wars, actually, here in the United States, on hostiles.
Yes.
You were actually in a land, and it's just, that is no slur to our Native Americans, because God bless them, they have my sympathy.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they were between a rock and a hard spot, and that's the way it was back in the old days. And, you know, the new moved in, and the old got moved out, and that's the way it is. But, so, every home was in peril.
Right.
Even in, it started out cities, they were in peril.
Absolutely.
So, well, what do? We fight the Native Americans, then we fight the French, the British, the French.
Right.
Then each other.
French were easy.
Yeah. I mean, we've always had, and just go to downtown Chicago after dark.
Oh, yeah.
Right, or East St. Louis or North St. Louis.
I'd rather fight the French.
Absolutely. So we're still using guns to survive.
Absolutely.
Here in the United States. So it's a whole different mindset. They want to apply European laws.
They do.
Plus our landscape, our geography, everything is so different here in the United States, so vast, the amount of land. It's nothing like Europe. It's nothing like where we were talking about England's gun laws.
Yes.
And how they... Their murder has been cut down significantly.
Correct. And we were saying, was it because the gun laws work, or could the British people not hit the broadside of a barn? But Greg made a wonderful point. There is not a lot of land. We are blessed with lots of land where we can go shoot and do this with our firearms. They, you know, when you see big land, boy, that's one farmer owns the whole field over there.
That's right.
And the rest of everybody's living in London under Big Ben.
Oh, they are, yes. Stacked up like cordwood.
Right. So I guess that would be it. So if, and obviously with the laws, if you don't have a gun and you can't get out and practice, you're certainly at a disadvantage.
That's true, but I have a feeling there are a lot more gun-related incidents than you will hear about.
I think you're probably right with that.
Because I have a feeling there's still espionage going on. There are still
black
drugs,
markets, yes.
Black market.
Yep.
There are still drugs. There are still the same problems that we have in the rest of the world.
And sure,
and as
true.
Long as those exist,
you will have
there's illegal weapons.
That's right.
We're not talking about legal,
and that's what we're talking about. Those are the illegal weapons. I'm watching on TV the other day. You're in downtown California. They're talking to a couple of Hispanic kids. Is it difficult to get a gun? And these kids were like 14 years old. They lifted up their shirt. Each kid had two guns under his belt, pistols. They said, no, it's not hard to get a gun. Now, Greg and I, we got our conceal and carries at the start of the year. We were happy to do so, and we were a bit proud of that, you know. And now,
as a matter of fact, Dean and I, really, we have two concealed carries.
We do. Don't mess with us.
True.
But our point, if let's say, because it always comes back to when the Bosnians came over here. I had befriended some of them. I was working with them because St. Louis was one of the hot spots for them to come to. And they explained to me with their gun laws, the government came in, the government took their guns. And I said, well, that can't happen. This is America. And they explained, well, it was the United Nations. Once they got it through the United Nations, and they said, yeah, they shouldn't have it. Well, then they lost all their guns. Well, the good people lost all their guns. The bad guys still had guns.
Absolutely.
And the army still had guns.
Absolutely.
And the next thing you know, there's rape rooms, and here they are coming over here to a different country because they'd lost their guns.
Well, you can talk to, I think, Austrian citizens and find out the same thing.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah. I heard Crocodile Dundee died from a...
From a gun battle, I heard.
But wasn't it, weren't they trying to take his guns?
Yes.
Was that just, that's what I heard?
That's the story that I'm familiar with.
Okay.
I wasn't there. I can't vouch as an eyewitness, but that's what
I've
been living
with. Truly love the story.
It is a great story.
Very good. Like the movie, too.
It's the American story. And Australia and us parallel in so many ways.
Amen, brother.
And then, but they actually became liberal enough minded to believe you can give up your long guns and your guns.
Yeah.
And look
where that got them.
Yeah, they regret it, every move of it. They're,
oh, yeah.
They're setting targets.
You're right, though. They started off as the bad guys, just like we did, didn't
they? Did.
It was the jailbirds and...
Yeah, the dissidents.
The dissidents.
That's what we were.
Well, that's where all great countries are started.
That's true. Send your riff-raff to another land.
That's it.
And then you can't control them. They become the United States.
We need an island of our own. We'll start off a new riff-raff right now. With no tax and high job security.
Right.
In a perfect world.
Yeah.
Well, what have we... what's your take on the upcoming election right now? I listened to a bit of...
Depression? And I don't mean to...
Is anyone informed? Is that what your depression is coming from?
Because, unfortunately, there's information,
right,
and there's misinformation.
Right.
And the misinformation, you jump on the net, because you can't really get the information off of too many news channels. And so you'll jump on the net, and I'll scan through the net to get my information.
Sure.
Kind of balance it between left and right and right and left. But even now, I find that so much of the news, and I'm going to say, like, I find Yahoo News,
yeah,
and several of the news, they're just as biased as our TV news service here in the United States.
As our MSNBC.
Oh, they are. They're ran by the same groups. And speaking of that, I just heard today on the radio,
yeah,
where they're trying, this administration,
yes,
is trying now to regulate the internet.
Oh, well, haven't they been trying that for a while?
But they're really pushing hard now.
Yeah.
And so now they can control the news flow and the information flow, if that would happen. And I really hate to say this. I mean, the internet has become a hub to inform people.
Absolutely.
Or misinform people. Either way. But as responsible citizens, we have to decide on, Republican, Democrat, right?
Right.
And I'm not here to tell you I'm a Republican. This is conservative news, I know, but I'm not a Democrat.
Absolutely.
And I really hate to say this. I told Kevin this will probably be his last Hillbilly Logic's demise, is,
yeah,
asking me to be up. Mickey Mouse should have been nominated to run against Obama. He could have won.
I agree.
I almost could have found a street urchin and ran him, and he should have had a good chance, I'm saying, of winning.
I agree.
They grab a Republican blue blood, you know, out of the strict tradition of the Republican Party.
Yes.
Who excites really no one.
Oh, I'm glad you're going here. It's the truth.
And it depressed me after the nomination.
Me too.
And I'm not telling you that I was specifically one guy or another guy. I just wanted a change, as Obama had in the last. But I wanted a change.
A good change.
From the one of the two parties.
Yes.
That's all there are. That's all there is.
I know.
So, I mean, Mitt Romney's probably a very intelligent and very nice guy.
Actually, I believe he is incredibly intelligent. I think he's a good family man. I don't think there's too much dirt they could find on the guy.
And maybe that was the case. And here's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
And I said this from the word go. They ran John McCain,
yeah,
because they did not want this presidency. They knew times were not going to respond, and they avoided, I feel personally, now this is just me, I feel personally they avoided this presidency for this term.
I've never contemplated
now,
that. Now,
brilliant. I'm a little concerned that perhaps the next 4 years, and I'm telling you, I'm not talking about what I gather off the news,
right,
and all the information and the misinformation.
Right.
I'm just telling you, talking to the average American, are you working? Are you having any luck at this? Are you having any luck at that? Are you hiring? My poor nephew has put in, he's willing to work.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid is, you know him, and
sure,
he's stout, he's strong.
Yep.
He don't have to be a rocket scientist, but he's willing to work. He wants a job so bad he can't stand it. In the last 3 months, he's put in 45 applications at minimum wage jobs other than fast food.
Right.
Other than fast food, and I'll throw that out. And he has got one call.
45 applications, one
45.
Call.
Wow. Now, I am telling you that this economy is not, I don't care, they can paint and put roses on a outhouse if they want to.
Right.
And Febreze and all of the odor killer. But when you dig into that blue water, that's what you're going to find. And I'm afraid that this economy is going nowhere fast. And in the back of my mind, I'm worried that perhaps they didn't run the best candidate for election. Maybe the best candidate
to run to lose.
I don't know. I mean, Romney's a smarter guy than that. And of course, it is historical to even be nominated. Even if you don't make the president, you are now in the history books forever. It's significant. It's historical. I don't know what his motivation would be. Perhaps he believes he could win. Perhaps they're patting him on the back one. It's you, Mitt. It's you all the way. I don't know. But you should have been able to run Mickey Mouse and beat this president.
Well, I think you made a valid point before. Mickey Mouse at least had some excitement behind him.
That's right.
And that is what I'm hearing from everything on the news. There's just no excitement behind Mitt.
Nobody trusts him.
And why? You know what? It's because they hear you can't trust him. You have to go along
with
Obama.
That's what they hear. It's misinformation.
And all I'm hearing is, oh, he stinks. He's
like
horrible.
Here's the other part of it, and I'm afraid that there's no liberals really listening to this station anyway.
Yeah. Well, hold on. If there are, call us at 347-677-1835. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, I'm sorry.
So if they are, Obama, President Obama, and I will say that, I get so aggravated when they did that to Bush all the time. Bush.
He's our president.
But
we
President Obama.
Yes.
Can you really believe what he says?
No, I can't. He told me things differently.
Does he really,
years ago.
After 4 years ago, does he really excite anybody today? I mean, they may vote for him because they're, quote, liberal.
Right.
But does he really excite anybody today?
I don't think so, and I think he's actually, a lot of the people that were excited 4 years ago don't have that same excitement.
So here's a folk. Here's my point on it.
Yeah,
is folks, I'm not a Romney fan. I really am not. I don't have anything against the man, but I would elect Mickey Mouse if he ran against President Obama.
It's almost like anybody but
so
Obama.
Here's the thing. I'm afraid we're going to lose too many rights. I don't know what these next – I'm afraid of the next 4 years. I mean, he's been caught on the mic telling Putin.
Yes.
Hey, just go along with me. After I'm elected, we'll just pass – I mean, basically, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, good old buddy, don't let it go.
He got that caught 4 years ago, too.
He's been caught several times. What's he going to do when he doesn't have to be reelected?
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. So excellent. What I'm saying is vote Mitt Romney in. And if we don't like him in 4 years, I don't care if you're a Republican. Get him out of there and get us somebody with some hope.
Absolutely. Hope. That is the perfect word for it.
Well, he used that slogan. And
well, it was change.
Change and hope.
Now it's just hope.
Well, now we hope it changes.
No doubt.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, that's a scary thing. That was the whole point I was thinking of earlier. And no one had any valid representation on why they didn't like Mitt Romney.
It's valid, you're talking about.
But they had no reasoning.
Oh, they posted.
Oh, I just don't like him. Well, why not? I just don't.
No, I just don't like him. And I saw the recent polls online. I jumped on a couple minutes today.
Right.
I forget. It was like 60% or 80% believe Mitt Romney lies more in his ads. Now, I don't know what the poll was. I should have taken the poll so I know what the questions, how they were worded.
Sure.
But more than President Obama?
I find that hard to believe.
I mean, actually, he did not lie to when he ran for office. Almost everything he's done, he pretty much said. It's like, and people are just now like listening to his last campaign. I mean, that was the 4 years ago campaign. I mean, he pretty much said what I'm going to do.
He did on some fronts.
I mean, the thing he really misled people on is the buck stops here. You know, hold me accountable. If you elect me in 4 years, if I haven't done what I say, then don't.
Right.
Now, it's
one-term president.
The Republican Party, they've got enough sound bites on Obama. Everybody talks, well, that's negative ads, and that was another thing. Oh, the negative ads this year are... Give me a positive ad. There's no such thing.
I can't think of one.
Especially, the guy has four past years now of, you could go, history. Now, name a positive thing that he's done. What can he really run on? What was really positive about his last 4 years?
Nothing.
As far as we're concerned, but I don't know that anybody can make a valid point.
I don't think anyone can. Honestly, I'm trying to go through, and I'm looking at, I'd say, you know what, there's one of those things, though. You know what, let's listen to the grassroots minute, and let's get right back to this, because I've got a good couple of minutes to go through on this.
I hope you do. I'm running out. We'll be right back.
This is the Grassroots Minute. On November 6th, St. Charles County voters will decide whether they want to keep their sheriff's department intact with a sheriff elected by the people, or drastically diminish it and establish a countywide police department with a chief appointed by the county executive. It's simple, really, elected versus appointed. St. Charles County law enforcement should remain independent and headed by an elected sheriff who is directly accountable to citizens and not to the whims of an elected official. To see just how politics are injected into a county police department, you need to look no further than St. Louis County. From the beginnings of our country, independent county sheriffs have been established across the nation, and their sworn duty remains the same as those established over 200 years ago, to protect the rights, property, and civil liberties of the citizens living within the county. The overwhelming majority of the sheriff's department staff in St. Charles County are opposed to the creation of a county police department, as should the voters of St. Charles County. During a time when the rights to vote couldn't mean more to a citizen of this country, your county council, county executive, and your current sheriff want to take away your right to select a chief law enforcement officer of your community. If this occurs, the newly formed chief would only have to answer to the county executive and the county council, not the citizens that employ him. November 6th, vote no in county charter question law enforcement. I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
Thank you, Terry. Now, what we were talking about just momentarily ago, and you know what? It's not just, I don't think, Mitt and Barack. The whole thing has just gotten so dirty lately. You know, we've gone through this with McCaskill and Aiken, and I'm sure Todd really thought he was kind of in the clear. You haven't heard much about that, the legitimate rape comment, have you?
No.
He had a certain amount of time to stay in. I think it was 2 days ago was the last day that he could get out of the race. And 2 days ago, Claire let her first ad out, and it was absolutely all with that. She was just thrilled that he stayed in. She was hoping he would. And this is just one of those situations, because I really like Todd's ad. He came out with a nice one. Anything of, you know, hey, I'm Todd and I'm great, and here's why you should elect me, but it was a negative ad, I would say, going with Claire, but it was just her saying, you know, if you don't what I'm doing and you don't want to elect me, you know, you can certainly vote me out. And you had all the people in the background cheering and
Claire said that.
Yeah, and it sounded as though everyone was saying, yeah, we should vote you out. So, and he put that out in probably 4 days prior. So I was just thinking Claire was just smiling, just waiting to let this ad out. I remember 4 years ago, I was just so disgusted by all the ads. And I'm curious now. I'm afraid we're going to go right that way with Mitt again too. But what can you play up with Mitt other than stupidity? And he's not a dumb man.
Well, no, he's. I'm going to tell you one way or another. I don't know that. I'm going to put wealth equates into intelligence, but I'm going to say that it actually the acquisition of it,
yeah,
at least does equate into it being illegal, or being very business-minded.
Astute. That's right.
Astute.
That's right.
So,
and his was not illegal.
No. So he was astute. He knew how to build a business.
Yeah.
He knew how to build many businesses, apparently.
Yes.
And
employed
he was
many people.
Successful at it.
Make money.
That's right. So it should equate into government.
Oh, gee. You mean everything America needs, this guy's good at?
Do you mean jobs?
Jobs and being able to possibly shift an economy around and take a negative money flow and turn it into a positive?
That would be a nice change of pace.
It would be a nice change, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. So my point of the matter was, as you've heard me babbling on about Brock and Mitt, but the point of the matter is we cannot afford 4 more years of not knowing what is lying ahead for us. He hasn't been up front since the word go. Everybody I know can say these birthers, they had the birthers, they have this, they had that. The point of the matter is, he has not revealed anything about his past other than the fact that the Muslim call to prayer is one of the most beautiful things he's ever heard.
Yeah.
And that Islam is a peace-loving religion, and that United States is not a Christian nation.
Oh, that one really.
I mean, he has given the Republican Party so many awesome sound bites.
Yeah.
That, I mean, fossil fuel, he hates. I've got a brother-in-law who works at a coal plant producing electricity.
Yes. Oh, they hate coal.
And,
coal is the devil.
Yeah, I mean, coal, gasoline. And we can go on there. We can go on for a year there because they're just trying to – really, their point is they just want to create the new wealth, and they want to be a part of that new wealth.
Right. They have to pick on the
out paper. With the old blue blood, the guys that controlled everything for colonialism. Out.
Sing it.
And then bring in the new rich wealth. That's what they're after.
And we'll have all of it.
That's true. And I do have something else I want to touch on, but what do you think? Dean, what's on your mind about this? I mean, you had something else. You wanted to talk about Claire McCaskill.
No, that was the whole thing. It's just these ads, once they start coming out. Claire is just, I hate to pick on her specifically. It's just these people come around, and this is one that, maybe I can pick on her specifically. I know when she was here in town recently, someone asked her flat out, hey, why would you vote for cap and trade when you know that the majority of your constituents are against it? And I think, as with many of our politicians, she said it very succinctly. They don't understand it. I think I know a little bit more of what's better for
them.
It's
the typical liberal mentality.
Yes.
They don't have the sense to manage themselves, so we can do that.
That's exactly right.
We are so much above the normal citizens.
Those infantiles that elected me.
Right. That we know what's best for them, and they're too stupid to know. And I hate to say this, but about 40-something percent, it's probably true.
Oh, are we going to get it? Let's don't get into the 47%. We weren't going there.
No.
However, and this will be the one time I say that, and I guess it was misspoken. Everyone's so mad about that. I don't know why that's so difficult to see what the man was trying to say, though. I understood the point he was trying to make, and there was some validity to it.
Well, if you want to jump on that, on Todd Akin, then let's go back to President Obama again for a moment.
Right.
When he was interviewing on, I think it was 2020 or 60 Minutes, I just saw this clip.
Okay.
And he said, well, I've got to give John McCain credit. He has not questioned my Muslim faith. On the interview.
Hold on. He said my Muslim faith.
Oh, you could find it on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
The Obama interview. I'm sure you can just type in the keywords. Obama interview where he admits he says that he has not. This is the best part of it.
Oh, boy.
He has not questioned my Muslim faith. And the interviewer is going, Christian. Oh, I mean, Christian faith.
Oh, you know what? You just brought that back. I remember that snippet years ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
so my point of the matter is are they pretending now that you can't misspeak? Because president is in a lot of trouble if that's the case.
Oh, yeah. He misspeaks all that. Well, let's face it, without a teleprompter, he doesn't speak.
Right. Hey, I'm gonna jump the subject here for just a moment.
Good.
And change this up. Oh, I wish that it was lighter, but I'm kind of in one of those. I'm sorry, folks. I'm kind of in a liberal mood tonight, where I'm kind of a whiner and a complainer. And but my niece was telling me, I found out some information today, yeah, and I haven't had time to look it up. But it was, it's unbelievable.
What'd you hear?
My niece works at a grocery store.
Okay.
As a cashier.
Right.
Well, she had a little gal come through that had her EBT card, which is the welfare check, or the welfare credit card, or ATM card, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And she slides it through, and she had too many items. Okay. It was worth, and my niece told her, I'm sorry.
Don't have enough money on
it. And, of course, the girl's response was, somebody's fooling with my account because I had more money there than that, and kind of an accusation type.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's he said, she said things. But
wait, like accusing the grocery store?
Yeah, right. I mean, this is a mentality of the people. A lot of people, not everybody.
Everyone's a victim.
Somebody falls on their face down in and needs some help, and that's what it should be.
Sure.
But here's the kicker: I did not know this was possible. So my niece says, you're going to have to take some items off.
Okay.
Now, she had soda.
Okay.
Candy bar. This is a welfare.
Okay.
For food.
Okay.
Soda, candy bars, chips, mm-hmm, cigarettes.
No.
Right. So she took the cigarettes off, scanned it. She came up with, there was $4 and some odd left.
Okay.
And that, she said, that little girl, which is 20 years old.
Yeah.
My niece is 22, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but she swiped the card in the ATM, hit cash, cashed out the remainder, $4 and something, then paid cash for a pack of cigarettes. Did you know you could do that?
No.
Did you know we're giving people...
I thought you couldn't have cigarettes or alcohol whenever you were on.
But whenever the credit that this government is so good to give somebody so they can buy groceries.
Yeah.
When you can hit cash.
You can cash it out and go buy drugs.
Alcohol, drugs, cigarettes. So these people are able to take that card, swipe it.
And get cash.
Get cash and buy
things
that working people either don't want to buy or cannot afford to buy.
Absolutely right.
I didn't know that. I mean, if there's anybody out there who knows anything about that, our number here at Hillbilly Logic is 347-677-1835. And
give
that
a call.
Yeah, that I'm taken back. But I'm going to research that a little more. What in the world are we doing as a government?
Oh, it just makes no sense. And now is that the new... I'm torn a little bit. I remember food stamps and things like that. Is everything done, I guess, on this card now?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know for sure.
I'm not that school in it.
Right.
I've been blessed to where I've never, you know... Been...
And we do feel blessed in situations. And we're not saying that welfare is wrong.
I would be.
People do fall.
And I've had family members that have struggled and fallen.
And
they're given it.
Yes.
So they take it. No, but they don't make a lifestyle of it.
No, you get back on your feet, and that's what it's there for.
It should be.
But it's
perpetual. They took off now. The point, this administration has removed the point to where you have to look for a job.
Right.
In order to qualify.
They have.
It's gone. No, they did. They took it off. So okay. Now I guess it's going to be a perpetual welfare credit card that we're paying for that we don't have. We're borrowing money for.
Oh, that's pitiful.
There's better ways.
That can't work anyway, because if everybody keeps going out of work, eventually there's not going to be enough money to keep everybody going anyway.
Mm.
It seems to me.
Well, no, that's obvious.
Yeah.
That's the way your checkbook works.
Well, always when I get to zero, that's pretty much it. There's no more income.
No. I mean, I went by the grocery store there. I wanted, a porterhouse.
Right.
I ended up bringing back these Frank's Weenies.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's how it works.
Ramen noodles instead of low main.
Yeah, the grocery store and the bank, I mean, they're just not there to make sure I get that porterhouse.
No, they're not. So how come the government can get away with that? Once again, it keeps coming back to that.
It comes down to conservatism. That's what it's about.
Well, that really is. As we watch, so, and this is the middle class that I'm watching go through this right now. So as their unemployment and jobs run out, I guess there'll be more welfare.
Absolutely. I mean, and at one point then, you're Russia, right? No matter what they want to say, other than the fact where you may be able to pick out your job if there is a job to get.
Yes, yeah.
You are going to be waiting in line because somewhere down the line, they're going to have to start rationing out what they get.
I remember 30 years ago watching this in Russia on Channel 11 News, and they were showing, and I never understood this, truckloads of food that they had driven 20 miles out from the city and dumped off in a ditch while people were starving in the city. And it was just to keep them oppressed. There was actually food for some of these starving people. This was literally about 1980, if you remember. Now, this was hit a bad time in Russia for them. However, you know,
that's a USSR, folks.
A few months away.
USSR.
We, yeah.
For you youngsters that
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the former Soviet Union.
It absolutely was, and they were a powerhouse. We, as I grew up, I remember being terrified. All the Reds out there, oh, they're coming for us. You know, and it was a grand day when Reagan came in and the wall came down, and it was just a beautiful time. However, as I'm watching the rest of the world go through this right now, we're all just a couple of months away from being on the brink ourselves. We could see soup lines here.
We see soup.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it seems like as long as people can go shopping, you know, I know people are losing their jobs, and I still see the malls packed. I still see people buying their iPhones. You know what? I've got a buddy of mine. He's talking to me. His wife's telling me, I think we're on poverty level. I think we're actually at the poverty level. And he said, yeah, I think we are at the poverty level. Both of them, neither one of them is working much. And we start saying something about the phones. They both pulled out an iPhone.
I've got
the old flip top. It's a $19 phone I got. I know I'm not supposed to shop there at the Great Evil, but I shopped at Walmart and got myself the cheapest phone they make that I could stick my SIM card in that would work, because I don't have a $400 phone. And everybody else does.
I found out I had a niece that had a $700 iPhone.
$700 phone.
I got to give her credit. She worked two jobs in order to pay for it.
That's different.
Part-time. She couldn't get a full-time. So she did buy it herself, and she didn't pay her whole phone bill, though. Her grandma paid that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what amazed me is
she's
this.
She's not married with a house.
Now folks, we're living in a world of instant gratification.
We are, absolutely.
That's why, I mean, they will do without some new clothes now. I mean, the malls are hurting. They really are. The stores are. I know that on one day a week or 2 days a week, but if you walk through them during a weekday,
yeah,
they're pretty slim. Now, the economy is not there. I mean,
exactly.
People are spending, unfortunately, too much still on unnecessaries, but we like the games. We've got to have a phone and a smartphone. That's just
true.
our current belief system, right? I mean, we've got to have an iPad. We've got to have a laptop. We've got to have cable or satellite. We have got to have internet. And thank goodness we do, or
yes,
we wouldn't be right here at Hillbilly Logic. Yeah, listening to the grass on the grassroots network.
That's right. That's right.
So, but anyway, I mean, we have to have these. Suddenly, these things have replaced common sense. Now the
Hillbilly Logic, as it was.
Yeah, Hillbilly Logic. It is. Now, my nephew, who I was talking about, that is looking for a job, struggles to make his insurance payment.
Oh yeah,
and he struggles to make. But you know what I did notice about him now? And you guys, I'm just throwing this out there. This is kind of odd for me.
Okay.
He has several $200 or $300 tattoos on his arms.
Wow.
Now, and I've noticed this is not him alone.
Oh, no.
The tattoos are in as well as the iPhones.
Yes.
Now, I'm not knocking tattoos or anybody that wears them. I'm just saying when you can't buy gasoline and you can't buy clothes, and you can't find a good job, how in the world, where's your mind at paying $200 or $300 for something like a tattoo?
Well,
That's my only – it's responsibility again. That's his place.
I think that's the same thing we talked about years ago, people that couldn't afford food but would go out and – but they could afford a pack of cigarettes.
That's still going on. That hadn't changed one hour.
No, that doesn't. And I think we're right back to what you were saying before, and that was the point I was making also. We live in a society of instant gratification. We are getting to the point where pensions and 401ks, we don't even worry as much. A lot of people do. I think more and more people are living paycheck to paycheck now than ever before.
Well, because we have the belief of the great umbrella.
Yes.
The mighty government.
Yes.
Is going to pull through for us. Nobody will really let you starve today here in America.
That's right. That's what you think.
I mean, that's the, but it will come.
We've thought for years, and it was that way, kind of.
Right.
Well, people could still starve to death.
Yeah, well, they do.
Oh, yeah.
They do in this nation. I'm not saying it isn't starvation.
That's right.
I'm saying the people that really pursue not starving to death do not.
No, they don't. There's always someone to... And
here's,
I have talked about that before, being starving musicians back in the day.
Right.
You know what? You can panhandle, I'd hate to say it, a dollar or two and get on down to McDonald's to that 99-cent menu and you
absolutely
won't starve. You can. You can eat. That's
you can,
true.
You can have some...
You can live.
I mean, yeah, $5 a day for a guy that's on his own. You really can. I'm not saying,
king.
Hey, water's fine. I got news for you. And it's...
That's right.
At fountains, it's still free.
Yeah, you don't have to spend $1.99.
And 99-cent McDouble. I'm sure these are going to kill you in the long run, but you will live. You will live for a while.
It all will.
you will live for a while.
Yes.
And there's a lot of 99-cent values out there today.
There,
you can get bean burritos at your favorite Taco Bell.
Oh, absolutely.
And bean and cheese, and that's probably around $1. I don't know. I haven't bought one.
This is just for, we're talking whole.
And beans are a lot more wholesome.
Right. And that's just homeless. If you can get home and you actually have, you know, somewhere you can boil water, you can eat cheap.
Absolutely.
Ramen noodles and a tin of tuna.
Well,
that's a poor man's tuna helper right there.
Absolutely.
Done it before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, my grandkids prefer ramen, and there's not a thing in there good for you either. Believe me, I looked at their
really
ingredients.
I
yeah, a lot of sodium. I mean, that's good
there's
for you if you're sweating.
A lot of sodium. Yeah, I know.
If it's 100 degrees and you got plenty of water and you got noodles, which is good starch for you. I mean, but once you reach your limit starch, you really don't need it. So.
No, that's it.
So we're ramen noodles. How did we get there?
I don't know. But
Kevin's going to be proud of us here on Hillbilly Logic tonight.
Don't press the button at the very end, and we'll be fine. Well, once again, and we would love to have anyone who's listening out there give us a call, 347-677-1835. We're just waiting for your call here in beautiful downtown Burbank.
That's right.
I always wanted to say
up here
that.
From the glass towers, it's like you could see the world, Dean.
Yeah. Don't throw stones in our glass towers. What else has been going on with you, Greg, these days? Is everything going well with the family?
Well, I'm not going to even go there, Dean. Yes, it is.
Okay,
I'm
wonderful.
Blessed. I'm extremely blessed. And when you have health, you have wealth.
You're right.
And, you know, we can't forget to get up, count our blessings every day. Thank the good Lord
for all
he's provided for us all. And not just be negative non-Christian, I'll just say it straight off the bat. Yes, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you wouldn't know it to have heard me rant for the last hour and 10 minutes, but yes, it's true, and that's where our hope lies.
As we both are.
Yes, we are, and I'm going to tell you, you have to vote no matter what anybody says.
And pray.
And you have to vote your morals according to biblical. According to what our Bible, our holy book, our Lord and our God, kind of. I know it sounds like, oh my God, people are about to freak out, but the truth is that is really how we have to vote.
Oh yeah.
And I will tell you, I have people tell me all the time from the other side when I oppose them on abortion or I disagree with them on a lot of the social issues.
Yes.
Because here, you know it, we both attend the same church.
Yep.
And we have helped so many who have been down and out.
That's right.
We believe in giving.
Yes.
And we believe in helping our brother. That's not what we're talking about with the government.
No, it's not.
We don't feel that's the government's place. But anyway, to you know, getting back with that, we you have to do this, and this is the art. This is the opposite of their discussion side that I take.
Right.
And it's like they say, yeah, but that Republican or that whatever independent or they're just using that issue. They really don't feel that way. They're just using the abortion card to get your vote. And you know what I tell them?
What?
I know that. I know. I don't have faith. I'm just telling you folks, I personally do not have faith that the candidate that I'm voting for firmly believes that we should save the innocent. I don't really believe or have evidence of this.
Right.
I don't really have evidence that they believe that a man and a woman should be
marriage,
should it should be else. Yeah, that standard yeah. for marriage here. But what I do know is for my vote, they have to hang with that issue.
Yeah.
And if I don't vote that way, then I vote the opposite way, which is counter my beliefs. So the point of the matter is this, folks, we're not putting saints in office. I firmly feel that once they get above a certain pay grade, they're not really the most honest people in the world.
Oh, I totally agree.
So the point of the matter is this. Let's use our leverage of our vote, and let's keep them in line. We really don't care how they personally feel on the matter. It's how we can manipulate them to do the right thing.
Which is what we elected our representatives, representative of us, for in the first place.
Absolutely. So when somebody challenges me with what? Well, you think they really buy that? You're putting a scumbucket in. He's a liar and a thief.
Right.
Yes, he is. But your liar and a thief wants to send children to the abortion clinics. They promote things that I do not believe in.
That's right.
Things that I believe are wrong. And mine, though he be a liar, maybe, and a thief, or right. whatever, that I don't know this for sure.
No, you don't.
But it's my inclination to believe they're not the most honest people in the world. But we can manipulate them into voting the right way for our vote.
Amen.
And we just keep hoping and praying that we will have a true leader come along that is really means what they say. You know,
and says what they mean.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I've been encouraged talking to a couple of our state reps here in right. the state of Missouri. I've been encouraged by a couple. Paul Kurtman, for
like
example.
Paul.
Paul's an awesome guy.
Yes.
And he's not tainted. And he's got a good belief system in place. And, you know, I told him, I go, man, you're the last hope we got.
Yeah,
I mean, when you get somebody that's coming up that you know on a personal level,
yes.
and you know that their integrity is there and that they're really leaning toward the truth, really, folks, it's on us to support those people.
Absolutely.
And to keep them accountable.
Yes.
To be the voice that says, you know what, that the way you're going is not the way you started out.
Right. And I think that could happen a lot. I think there's a lot of people that well-meaning get in there and they're going
I think
on the
majority.
Right path, and then somewhere along the line, yeah, some of the bigwigs come up and say, you know what, you're causing some waves for whatever reason. We're going to put you on this junket and you're never going to get anything done or passed and you're just going to be voted out in no time. Or you can play with us and we'll make it all better for you. And I think that's what happens, and I don't know if it's the money or the power. Or if, you know what, there's probably some truth to that. When you get all the big guys against the one little guy, they probably can crush you. It's got to be a nonstop attack coming from us at Washington.
It's got to be.
An attack of truth.
It has to be. And I am telling you, folks, I don't care if you're Republican, and I do not personally care if you're Democrat.
Right.
Hold them accountable. And if they're not, replace them. Don't hang in there because your party says you have to vote for them.
Right.
As a member of the union, we see that all the time.
Oh, we're supposed to.
Our leadership telling us our mindset and telling us how we're supposed to vote. And that's where people overestimate.
And how stupid we are if we don't vote that way.
That's right.
How we don't care about our families, how we don't care about our brothers.
Right, and yeah. I mean, and they lean on that, but it still does. Still 40% of all privatized, not public
right.
unions, but
right.
private unions,
no, privatized,
at least 40%
carpenters, painters,
vote Republican, straight Republican tickets.
Can you all believe that? Because it's true.
It is true. So you remember that, private unions.
Yes.
And
yeah, that's your schools. That's your, no, well, not the schools. It's your...
It's construction trades. It's trades...
Well, that's private.
That are private.
But your public unions, that's the government.
Yeah, that's right. That's your schools.
That's
and,
right.
And that's your government unions that are affiliated.
Now, they'll probably vote 100% Democrat because their job depends
Believe it or not, not all school teachers do. And
you know what? I'm sure that's the case. School teachers. Talk about smart people, too. You know,
overall, but, you know, they're just overall. Like everybody else. Yeah.
Well, sure.
I mean, not everybody is a brain surgeon. Dean should have been a brain surgeon.
That's true.
I know plenty of musicians that shouldn't have been musicians, but, boy, they really want it so bad they can't stand it.
Yeah. Well, you know, but some, well, I don't know, some musicians that are just, and it's like the brain surgeons, phenomenal at what they do. No bedside manner. No people
no.
skills.
No, no people skills. No planning skills.
Yeah. Yeah, and I
just
feel okay.
talent.
And you know what? Back to the presidency for a second. I'd like to have a guy that, I don't need the people skills. If he could spin the country around and give us a great country, I'll take that 30-minute boring speech on TV. But we are a country that wants excitement. We like the guy to be good-looking.
We should have.
Grab us and pull our heartstrings.
We do. We should have ran Heavy Ted.
Yeah. Sweaty Teddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. You think he could have won or...
he couldn't have. I think he couldn't have done any worse.
He couldn't have done any worse. And if he pulled a crossbow out there on the, trail, I would love that.
He would do it too. We've seen it.
He would do that.
Yeah. But anyway,
give
that
us a call if you're listening ever.
Yeah, Ted, we love you.
That we do.
I tell you, you're listening to Dean Whiteman tonight,
and Greg Harned.
And we're filling in for Kevin Harned on Hillbilly Logic. So I would resume, come back next Thursday and catch Kevin back, and you'll probably be relieved. And we're going into
the Secret Santa promo.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
And we're back. That's some good stuff right there.
That's some excellent.
I like that.
That Secret Santa. That's awesome.
It is awesome. And that's something they're doing yearly.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Right down in Springfield. You know, I used to live down in Springfield.
It's a beautiful area. Golly, I'd love to live in Springfield.
Oh, it's great.
It's impossible for me now. You know, with all the grandkids up here and all the travel back and forth, it would
be... just move them down there.
But you know, we... We have a, I have a brother, yep. Another brother's in the radio and yes, internet both. And he does Doc Talk with Glenn Wells.
Yes.
So go to iTunes, look up Doc Talk with Glenn Wells if you're into bass fishing, tournament bass fishing primarily, and check him out because, I mean, he has the best fishermen in the state of Missouri on his show regularly. He has some of the guys that have the best tournament circuits on the show. But anyway, getting into where I was going with that,
right.
Springfield is in the heart of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, you're just an hour almost from any water in that southwestern. It's beautiful.
As Lake of the Ozarks is one of the biggest in the country, I know. But, you know, I was weaned on Table Rock.
I am
a fan of Table Rock Lake. I always have been. You know, for me, it's because I'm a scuba diver. The water's more clear. It's just a good freshwater dive, you know, and it's nice to see those.
Scuba diving. How has that worked out with the heat wave and the drought that we had? Did that change your water color?
You know, I live at a lake, and our water, as it was going down, it was weird. The water changed, and I had a whole bunch of algae come up on top. And I thought, oh, it got so bad, you know, there was not enough water to take it over the spillway anymore, so it was just stagnating. And I'd say I had about 2 weeks of that, and then it turned over. And it got exceptionally clear. I hadn't seen it that clear in 10 years.
Wow.
And the water was down, though, you know, so you could see the trees down on the bottom of the lake and whatnot. And, you know, I never really got a chance to get out. I have a boat, and it's on a lift, and with the water going down, I found it in dry dock one day and couldn't get it out. So I'm swimming, but I'm not really boating.
But, I mean, that Table Rock is, it's just a stupendous lake. I love it. I love to fish on it. I learned to ski on that lake.
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever been to Lake the Ozarks, Missouri,
yeah.
You really appreciate skiing on Table Rock.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You don't have those 6 foot swells.
Oh, my. Oh.
Well, you can. I don't know. Table Rock's got some of those big boats out there on it now.
They do.
I can't think of the name. We took it a couple years ago. The Bell. It was a nice big dinner boat.
Right.
And it just about knocks over the ducks. Those are the little boats that the people, they drive off the land into the water, and then you drive off the water up on the other side of the land. I think they were, what, amphibious vehicles from like World War II.
They were, right.
But they still use them.
They do. They run. They do it. They run right off the road, right into the lake.
I want one.
I want one too.
Let's get a pair.
I'm gonna get one. That'll be my goal.
There you go. I'll get you one for your birthday.
Hey, you're sweet. I'll get you one too.
I want one blue. So anyway, that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna move to Table Rock and start driving ducks. That's our future.
Well, no, we have other plans. You see, we just never quit thinking, and that's what a conservative does. Yeah, you're probably saying to yourself, they never quit talking either.
Well, that's what a radio show does.
That's right. But we're on the radio, and we can't, or it would sound like this.
And how much fun is that? That's all we could do, be quiet for 3 seconds.
It was that. Totally.
Press the mute button next time.
But if I can get you down there, we could also, I could start guiding.
Yeah,
because you can locate the bass.
This is a valid.
I can put people on them.
Points.
Finding the fish, that is 95%.
You know, you could come out to that certain point every day, and I could be down about 20 feet and put that fish on your hook.
I think we're.
It works for him, but no one else. It's the oddest thing.
Folks, that's the way. That's the way the capitalism and conservatism works right there.
Yeah, that's true. And that's how you can get thrown in jail after.
Yeah, now you watch this, Dean. When you finally run or I run for an office and we win, they're going to replay that. And they're going to say, see, can you really trust these guys who are talking about putting fish on the end of a line? Which really isn't cheating people.
No.
Because they're paying you to
that's
catch
right.
fish.
Exactly.
I look at it as an act of kindness.
And if we get a little money out of that, that would be kind also. I'm just looking for a job where I can hang around Table Rock Lake all day.
Oh, well.
That'd be fun.
Well, if the economy keeps going the way it is, Dean, you don't have a job, and maybe you could live off of Table Rock.
I could be fishing all day for
that's
my food.
Right.
Yeah, sadly. I'm going to get a spear gun. That's the easy way to do it.
And that definitely is.
Well, and it's legal down there, too.
I tell you, we're going to be, we're going to have Matt Gummersall on.
We are in about 10 minutes.
And it's actually a pre-recorded interview that we had with him.
It is. Matt Gummersall, the owner of Sovereign Arms, located at Highway 21 and 141.
In northern Jefferson County, Missouri.
That is, right between Arnold and Fenton.
And And Matt is just a stupendous person.
He really is.
As far as being a giving Christian and as far as being very informative with gun rights and laws.
All laws.
And seriousness of how he handles a firearm. I'm talking about from the sale all the way through.
Absolutely.
I mean, he don't just turn you loose. I know here in the state of Missouri, I mean, he will answer all questions. He's on the internet. But give him a call if you have anything that you need to know.
Absolutely.
I mean, the guy's phenomenal. He's a good source of information.
Yeah, and that's something I think we can give a quick 30 second. You know, we had two conceal and carry permits, actually.
We
started off with the Utah.
Right.
And we got the Utah license, which is also good in Missouri, and it seems like, I'm not sure the exact, 20 states, something like that, we'll say. That's a guesstimation. I'm not exactly sure on the number. But you never had
well,
to
it's
fire.
Changed. Since we got our Utah.
And less people are recognizing the Utah license because you never had to fire a gun. I remember we got in there, Greg and I had been working. Oh, boy, I think we pulled an all-nighter, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we were working all night. Had a meeting the next morning and went straight to the gun class. This is one of those gun classes where you don't have to go into the shop. We could do it right at someone's house. It just seemed great. I thought, now that's how I want to get it. How easy can that be? I fell asleep during the film. You know, I woke up and they're giving me a gun license. That, I was terrified. By the time I got a gun, I was scared to take the gun out in public. I thought I was going to shoot myself or someone else that was close to me. I was really
You
terrified.
Just weren't comfortable.
I was not comfortable at all. There was a fair amount of being scared. Actually, of the firearm.
Now, you didn't share that with me.
Well, I tell you, after I took the class, the Missouri class with Matt, and this is a new law also. In Missouri now, you have to shoot 75 shots, or 70, I guess it was, 70 from
70.
A semi-automatic and 70 from a revolver. So you're going to end up shooting 140 times. Then you clean the guns. You took the thing apart. We learned everything about them beforehand. I didn't have that fear.
No, what was it, Dean? It was a 10-hour, 8-hour or 10-hour?
Oh, yeah. It was
10-hour?
About 10
hours. Right.
And really, I think normally they're, my brother-in-law got the Missouri, and I think his was a 4 or 5, and that included lunch. Matt, for the same price, goes out of his way to make sure that you feel comfortable with this. You really do know a lot about your own personal firearm when you walk out of there and the laws. We went out to dinner with him before we had him on the show before. And in St. Charles, Missouri, right in downtown. And boy, he had his gun legally so.
He had two.
On the outside.
Two of them.
He was not.
245s.
Not
semi-automatic.
He was just
Glocks.
Carrying. Yeah. And our waitress, he definitely made some heads turn as we walked into the place. Asked us to leave. Asked us to put the guns away. And we listened to him after about 45 seconds of explaining just the laws. He had absolutely defused the situation. She felt comfortable knowing that he knew what was going on and that he actually, I think he gave her a card too, so she knew that he really
And invited her
to come take the class, to come to his... Matt is just absolutely, he wants you to feel just as comfortable with it as he does. And boy, I don't think anybody feels any more comfortable than he does.
No.
He's an incredible shot.
Well-trained.
Well-trained.
He also trains for, bodyguard.
Not only, but for churches.
For churches.
For he's taken the FBI.
Right.
Yes.
Courses.
I wouldn't mess with him.
No, I wouldn't either. plus, he's a stout guy.
He is a stout guy. But if you've ever, he's got films too, and it shows.
Go to YouTube and look up Sovereign Arms.
There you go. Sovereign Arms will bring you right up to it.
Right.
They will have the videos. Actually, he has some of his. He not only does the Missouri Conceal and Carry class, which also includes the Florida, but he has outside the home protection, inside the home protection, church. There was three or four. And one of them, Greg and I thought about taking. We were going to go be bodyguards after some of these.
It's not over with yet.
We could do that.
We'll probably have to bodyguard for each other after this interview.
But if anyone would like to pay us, we would certainly bodyguard them too.
Absolutely. But once we go through Matt's training.
Yeah, you might want to just give Matt a call after this. But it's a wonderful interview, and I think it's very informative. You're going to learn a lot. And honestly, he would be a good one to get hold of. I'm sure I know his information is on there also, so you will be able to get a hold of him. But he's just a fun one and just so informative. I would really recommend, I've talked to about four other places or people who have been to about four places up here getting their concealed carries. And he really stands head and shoulders above. Anyone who's taken his class says that.
Right, he's just an outstanding human being as well.
That he really is. So we've stroked his ego enough, we think.
You're right. Right, we're really not getting any like three things for saying these three items.
And we'd like to talk to Matt about that after the show.
Right. But just an awesome guy.
Daddy definitely is. And once again, we've got about 4 minutes before that interview comes on. Now that's going to run out pretty much the rest of our show, Greg.
Right, and I'd like to thank our listeners tonight. I mean, they lit up the board with names, but nobody wanted to really talk to us.
Well, we understand that. We could get that sometimes.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the way it is at our house, too.
We feel lit up, and no one needs to talk to us.
Right. We're that informative.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's another thing to keep in mind, too, when you're voting, and we're talking about voting. What it really does is you do vote people who put in Supreme Court members, ideology.
Such a good point.
And I'm telling you, that's the most important point.
Because everyone is voted in. There are appointed people from who we have elected.
I mean, many of the entities that be, the liberal, I will say, left especially,
found
they adjudicate the laws into their mold. They don't have to get them passed by the people. And then when the people do pass them, as we've had happen in California, Arizona, this administration, that left's mentality, attacks them through the courts.
Oh, yeah.
And rescinds it. I mean, really, they're almost dictating the laws to us today, the courts. We're not really voting that much. And on the vote,
I don't know if I would say almost. I think you make a great point there.
Judge Roberts, on one of the last unpopular votes that he had,
right?
That was his point. His point was because we wanted, I wish I could remember the case. I wish I had information from me, folks. But what he said was correct. He said, "Look, we're not here to instill laws. We're here. You want us to decide if they're legal or not."
There you go.
The law. You do not want me, even if you're in favor of that law, and I didn't go along with it. I didn't go along with it because we don't want that type of Supreme Court.
Right.
That's not being conservative. And it diffused me because I was a little aggravated. I wish I remember which issue it was. It was a major one.
Well said, though.
Yeah, it was. And I thought, well, you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
I mean, just because we want to use the court now from a conservative point.
That's exactly right.
And it doesn't work out because you have a conservative judge that says, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Perhaps he's right.
I think it's a very good point. There's a whole lot of things we can get into on that. And there's something I look at. Boy, we're going to have to save that for next week because we've only got about 1 minute to get onto. But I think very wonderful points made there. Once again, we'd like to thank Kevin Harned, the host of Hillbilly Logic, for letting us be on here this week.
Absolutely, and we'd like to thank you for listening to us.
Certainly, and also, Kevin, good luck. Running once again for Jefferson County Council, and we need to, and as Greg has said earlier, and we have always stated that it's always about the voting, and in most cases, it's about the primaries. Get out there, and instead of being in situations like what we talked about earlier, the lesser of two evils, let's get a good candidate in there in the future, and someone that we can really look forward to for leadership. Instead of, I don't want to vote for this guy, let's just vote for the other guy. All right.
All right.
Greg, it's always fun being with you. Same, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's listen to Matt, and we'll talk to you all next week.
When I'm leading this campaign against the Sharia laws for the abolishment of...
That wasn't Matt. Let's try this one.
This is the Grassroots Minute.
Matt, fortunate to have you in here with us tonight.
Thank you, sir.
You've actually been on the show twice through the course of the last year and a half, and I'd just like to say that you're always informative, you're always articulate, and it's always really nice to get the current information from you instead of listening to a lot of the rumor mill, listening to a lot of other things that are floating around out there, because truth does matter.
It does. Thank you very much. And when it comes to firearms, that's extremely important to make sure that we're well-informed and up with the current laws that are applicable to the state of Missouri in that regard, absolutely.
Well, there's a lot of things. I know that Greg had mentioned, he had actually asked me a question a few days ago, too. There was a guy that approached him on one of the job sites, and we're talking about a construction job site, and he was sharing some information with Greg that I didn't think sounded totally correct. And I had somebody else try to share that same information with me, and I actually ran it by you a little bit earlier today. And Greg, if you'd like to tell the audience, you know, what that was.
The guy said it is brother-in-law and sister had a CCW training, and that there was a big push coming in. They had a lot of people because the state of Missouri is going to get to where they're no longer issuing the CCW, or they're going to restrict the numbers.
I would find that very hard to believe. I've heard nothing in regards to that. Of course, we do, you know, concealed carry training every day. We've trained over 2,500 people in the past 2.5 years at Sovereign Arms. So I would think that with the money that the state is actually making off the concealed carry endorsement, that probably wouldn't happen. Again, just with our store, we've trained 2,500 people in concealed carry, and that generally translates to about $100 per person
to the
with the sheriff's department.
Wow.
So it's actually the county that you're in, whether it's St. Louis County, Jefferson County, Franklin, St. Charles County.
Sure.
So it's a fantastic, you know, money maker for the state. And I just couldn't see there would be any reason
why
they would take that away, unless they were going to amend the law to where they didn't require you to have the actual permit. But I think that would actually be pretty dangerous, because the minimum amount of training that is in place now and that's required by the state according to the laws is really a bare minimum. And that's why we always push to try to get our clients to understand nobody's going to be ready for a gunfight in a 10-hour course. You know, these MMA guys train for a year, you know, for the fight of their life. A boxer will train for a year, you know, for an HBO fight.
Right. Good point.
And to think that you're going to be able to come and sit in a 10-hour course and be able to somehow be ready for...
To protect yourself, your family, an actual gunfight.
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't walk away from those fights. Generally, there's going to be one person that's the victor. And, you know, it's not just bumps and bruises. It's real life. And so we do have training that well exceeds the concealed carry, and we generally try to get people to implement that into their training regimen.
And, you know, one thing that you guys do, and I know just out of our conversations, is really a well-trained, armed person. It's the best information possible is to try to keep you out of that situation.
Absolutely.
Going into an actual gunfight.
Absolutely. Our second class that we teach, personal protection inside the home, has quite a bit dedicated to discernment, building and training yourself in a defensive mindset, developing threshold stimuluses, which are basically if-then scenarios that move in a level of progression from less lethal to more lethal, and then developing contingency plans, safe room strategies within your home, multi-level, if you have a multi-level home, maybe multi-level safe rooms, you know, what you do when you have kids and how to implement those types of scenarios. And we translate that into our church security program that we do nationwide, and then we have, you know, classes that go beyond that with personal protection outside the home. I teach bodyguarding classes. I teach a hostage taker shooting class, and so there's so much to learn. I have things to learn, and there's people out there that are, you know, more informed and equipped and better skillfully than I am, so I don't ever think that I've arrived either.
You sure take a lot of steam out of the anti-gunners who say that it's like the OK Corral. I mean, that's what they like to paint the picture of, and right here is living proof that's not so.
It really has to do with the mindset, especially when I train my clients. Our slogan that's written on the side of our building is that life is sacred and that we want to learn to protect it. As a Christian, I believe that even somebody that would be a potential offender or somebody that would be somebody that was trying to potentially hurt you or hurt your family, that their life is also valuable. And unless I'm put in the position where there's absolutely nothing else that I could do, we always try to teach doing four things: avoiding, evading, escaping, deterring, and as an absolute last result, would you ever engage somebody with a firearm? And I think that has to be the mentality, that it's a last resort, it's the last thing you ever want to do, but we want to train people and equip people to have the skill set that goes way beyond what the requirements are for normal concealed carry, to be able to do what they have to do if the unthinkable thing, the unimaginable thing would happen in your home or out on the street, but to have a heart and a mind attitude that's the last thing I ever want.
I actually appreciate that mindset and that thought. I mean, because honestly, I'm a little concerned about somebody that would choose that option first anyways, or have the intent or desire to choose it first.
Yeah, I actually have a story, and I won't mention names, but I went to NRA school with some people that are from a really big store, and I won't even say the state that it's in. The instructor's course for the most advanced course that NRA allows, they have these shoot, don't shoot scenario type of things, and they set up the scenario where you're approached on the street. It's in a classroom environment, but you know, you're approached on the street. The one instructor is told somebody's going to come up and just approach you, and we want you to respond how you think you need to respond. And then they pulled this other instructor off to the side, and they said, okay, we want you to pretend that you're like an autistic or a mentally challenged young man, and you just do everything that you can do to get his attention. Just try as hard as you can. And so the scenario begins, and the instructor that was playing the autistic child comes out, and he's screaming, oh, my mommy's house is over here, come help me, you know, pleading. And so the other instructor tells him, stop, get away, don't come any closer. And he continues to really get aggressive. The second instructor, no, please help me, you know, come to me, oh, my mommy's house. And so the instructor, the first instructor who has the, you know, firearm in the classroom setting, he backs up. And then he draws the firearm, you know, in a pretend firearm, and right. Well, out live yeah, firearms in a classroom, right?
Yeah, okay, so, not even at the NRA.
Not even at the NRA. That's a big no-no. So yeah, they don't. I wanted to qualify that because we're on the radio. And so then he keeps pushing him, and he goes, oh my mind, help me! And he reaches out and goes to grab the instructor, and the instructor would have shot him.
Right.
And not only would the instructor shot him, but then he goes and he starts defending his actions by, you know, quoting parts of Missouri law really taken out of context, you know, that, oh, I felt my life was in imminent danger. Well, Missouri 563 defensive use of force law requires that there be a forcible class A felony or murder that's happening, or assault, kidnapping. There's a whole list of class A felonies. And one of those things has to be taking place in front of you, or you have to perceive or have a reasonable understanding that that's happening in front of you or has just happened, and the person is escaping via the use of a deadly weapon, and then you may be able to intervene with whatever force is necessary to actually bring about the cessation of the threat. So yeah. This instructor just would have shot an unarmed child, and all I could think about was, we have a kid in our church, his name is Steven, and I've watched him grow up from being a young man, and he's Down syndrome, and he, beautiful young man, but he talks, you know, like that, and all I could think was, if that happened to Steven and his mom had a heart attack or something, he would not dial 911. He'd just run out onto the street and try to get the first adult that he could, and he would have been killed for that.
Right.
By according to this instructor, and this particular instructor, basically his philosophy is if I get approached and you get within 21 feet of me and my firearm comes out of the holster, if you don't turn around and leave, I'm going to shoot you. And I just think that's a horrible, horrible attitude and mindset.
So. Well, see, there again, that's something that somebody is going to be well-educated in whenever they come through that course.
Course.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I would like to share again that tonight in studio we're joined by Matt Gummersall from Sovereign Arms, LLC. He's located just a little bit south of St. Louis for our national audience. Matt is kind enough to come in and join us tonight. We thank him for that.
He's going to give us some information.
Absolutely. He's going to give us all information to share. And the big thing is so that we're all safer. That carries a lot of weight.
Thank you.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break right now. Joined in studio, Matt Gummersall, Sovereign Arms LLC, Greg Harned, myself, Kevin Harned. We'll be right back. As joined in studio tonight, Matt Gummersall with Sovereign Arms LLC. Matt, thanks again.
Yes.
Greg, thank you for coming in and helping to carry the load also.
Well, I'm getting used to it.
But outside of that, we're going to have some questions for you, too, from the audience. A couple of the things that I stopped by today, Sovereign Arms.
Yes, you got to experience firsthand the cooliciousness of the personal refrigeration devices that we have now put on each lane.
Bingo.
Cooliciousness.
Yeah, cooliciousness.
That's awesome.
Yes.
You know what?
11,000 BTUs of cooliciousness.
Whoa. Yeah.
Blowing
per lane.
Personally
per
on
lane.
You.
Yeah.
Per lane.
Blowing you away. It's excellent.
It did blow me away. One of the things, what about for all the folks, that may want to see this even before they swing by? Is there some kind of a link?
They can, we're on Facebook. If you just look up Sovereign Arms on Facebook, and we actually released the video of the new Coolicious personal refrigeration devices last night on there. And then you can certainly go to our website, which is www.sovereignarms.com.
Well, you've got my interest. Let's just say, suppose that I really didn't want to shoot, but I wanted to be cooled down. Could I just pay you a shooting fee and stand there and be cool?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I would find that right at the Sovereign Arms LLC.
I'm
right
sorry
there.
You can't, because
come in
you
and
get in
off.
There and you're gonna want to participate.
Absolutely.
I can't stay away. You're right. Oh, you caught me.
So, again, though, it was a really neat setup.
Thank you.
That was the first time I've actually been in there
in
with
the range.
Shooting lanes.
Excellent.
And I plan on coming back.
Well, great. Just to mention, it is a pistol range only, so we don't do rifles on the range. And we have some neat upgrades, too, that we're doing now. We've been a Class 3 dealer for a while now, doing suppressors and short barrel rifles and full autos. We now have actual suppressors on some of our rental firearms that you can shoot on the range.
Neat.
And it's really neat. You don't even have to wear hearing protection.
Wow.
So.
I like that.
That's excellent. Yeah.
So for those that are firearm limited, not only can you set them up with the right firearm, but you can also rent them some to shoot at the range.
Yes, and we have a pretty good selection in all the calibers from .22 to .45.
Well, that's great.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We have one from Wisconsin here, Appleton, Wisconsin, Carla Tate, and her thoughts are on the recent passing of the concealed carry. That is a concealed carry green light, and she is loving it. So Wisconsin recently got their concealed carry.
Yes, and that's a huge thing that just happened. And it's Illinois has no provision whatsoever for concealed carry, and so Wisconsin was actually like that for a long time. So we're hoping to sandwich Illinois at this point and put the squeeze on and try to get them.
Hey,
to
we love you people from Illinois.
We do. We love
just
them.
Don't care much for your government.
Yeah, and it takes me 15 minutes to take everything off before I go into Illinois time I drive through.
Oh,
what is the law regarding how big a gun that you can carry? And I guess this would probably be in reference, how about in Missouri?
Sure.
Because we're state to state.
Exactly. And that's you do have to qualify that, because every state is different. Generally, when it comes to concealable firearms, what they're talking about is just that, a concealable firearm or a concealable weapon. So there's some provision inside the Missouri laws. If you go to 571 Revised Missouri Statute, you can Google that online. It's about 29 pages. And they do have a list of several things. And certainly I know they're not going to limit to just those things, but they're referring to knives, knuckles, handguns, things that are concealable. So generally any long arm, a long gun, they are limited to 16 inches in length in the state of Missouri. You can, as I said earlier, we're a Class 3 dealer, so with the proper paperwork, you can apply for the Curio and Relic license through ATF. Costs about $200, and you can get a Curio and Relic license. Then you can also purchase a suppressor, short barrel rifle, or any fully automatic firearm manufactured before 1986. Each piece that you buy is going to be a $200 tax stamp, several hoops you got to jump through, you have to file a form for. The whole process from start to finish takes about 4 months to do anything on a rifle that's shorter than 16 inches. But generally, if you can conceal it, there is an art to concealment. So when you're concealing something, and we have this discussion with open carry versus concealed carry all the time. I do both. I conceal and I open carry, depending on.
Can you do them both at the same time?
Yes, you can, because I have two guns, and I can open carry one and conceal the other, and I do that quite a bit.
Okay.
So I carry like that a lot. But yeah, to answer the question, generally most concealable firearms are pretty much going to be in the 22 to 40 caliber. 45. Maybe you get a small 454 revolver or the Judge and the 10-45 long Colt that could still be concealed. So if you can conceal it and make it work, it should be okay.
And that answers the next question, which was, if it's under my shirt or in a sling, can I carry a shotgun under my duster if it'll fit?
In Missouri, probably not. Unless, okay. Yeah, I don't even think with the concealed carry permit they're wanting long arms under the coat. It has to be, if you read that law in 571 Revised Missouri Statute, in quotations it actually calls it or indemnifies it a concealable firearm. And, if we put enough clothing on, I guess we could conceal a cannon,
right,
or a Barrett 50 BMG. But I think that's not what they're really referring to. They're more referring to sidearms in that regard.
Okay.
Good answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Good questions. Thanks for everybody that's sending them in, and appreciate the input. You ready for another?
Absolutely.
All right. Is the only difference between the Glock 26 and 27 one that the 26 is a 9mm and the 27 is a 40?
Pretty much. Now, the Glock has just come out now with the Generation 4, which has a little bit smaller grip. It has back straps that are little plastic pieces that can be put over the back strap, and you can build out that palm swell to fit different size hands. On the Generation 4 Glocks, there's a double spring that's on the inside that replaces the guide rod spring versus the Generation 3 that has the single guide rod with the single guide rod spring. The Generation 4 also has a larger magazine release, and it comes with three magazines. But the frame size, if you just want to compare Generation 3 Glock 27 to Generation 3 Glock 26, the frame size to the naked eye really is the same. It might be like a 16th of an inch larger on the 40. Of course, the 40 is a larger caliber, which it has a larger barrel. One neat thing, there is a way to take a 9mm barrel and magazine and switch that over into a 40, but you can't reverse it. And so that's another neat little trick about the Glocks that works real well. If you want any more information on that, certainly you can call us at Sovereign Arms at 636-287-8821. We do have nationwide shipping, and we ship all over, so we can answer any questions and then certainly get you a firearm sent to wherever you're at all across the
Now, the Generation 4, I've got a question. Is there a price difference between the 3 and the 4?
That's a great question. Yes, there is. The Generation 4 has a little bit different styling. It's stippled a little differently on the grip because it does come with the three magazines and the little backstrap pieces and the new spring. We have those at normal prices, $599 for a Generation 4 in a 9 or 40 caliber. And then in the Generation, they don't make a Generation 4 21 yet. It's coming out, but they
have
the
45
caliber.
45,
yeah.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
I also want to clarify, too, that do you not offer discounts on some of your courses?
We do.
Or a firearm purchased within your store?
We do. The way we do it is if you purchase a firearm, our normal price on our concealed carry class is $150. If you purchase a gun and a class together at the same time, we give you the class half price, so it's just $75.
I mean,
it's a great deal.
Sure.
Yeah,
and not only that, you're selling a firearm that's going to go out to a better educated firearm owner. It's a win-win.
Yeah, and we always try to just continue to push for people to come back and do as much training as possible. And so we always are offering discounts on classes and extended classes. Actually, last month we gave concealed carry class away completely free, absolutely free, with the purchase of the next class, personal protection in the home, at $200. That's how much I believe in extra training.
Absolutely.
So. Wow. And I want to take this second while it's on my mind, because if I don't say I want it's on my mind, it will
gone.
Stay in that steel trap. I promise you. But I just want to say thank you, Matt. You donated to a cause that we were involved in, actually, in doing a Justin McLeod.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you were very generous and gracious. And that young Marine, it was just a great bit of work that everybody did that came together. But it's folks like you that actually donated something out of your pocket. It came from hard work from yourself.
Which, I appreciate that.
I think the total on that auction, I believe, raised over $19,000.
My three classes? Wow. I can't get that in the store.
Well, we need a new marketer. Hang around here.
And on the day, on that one day event, was $60,000.
Oh, praise the Lord.
So,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great, great, great cause once again. And we thank you for participating.
That's,
oh, Greg, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank
well,
you.
I've been meaning to say that for a while.
We're glad to do it. And, you know, we really support our men and women in military, and they're putting our lives on the line. And we thank them for that. And God bless the troops that are going out there and each one of you. And pray God watch over you and protect you and make his face to shine upon you and keep you safe and give you peace and bring you home safe.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, and I got to say one other thing now.
What would that be, Greg?
I'm disappointed, Matt, because I told him I was going to stop by, and I haven't done it yet since the last show, that is.
Oh, that's okay.
But I've been working in a building that's 100 degrees.
Yeah.
100 plus. It really
you
is.
Need that, you need your own personal refrigeration device.
And now I know. Now I know
that's
I
why
I
had so much interest there, too.
Now I know I can.
What is the adjective?
Oh, the cooliciousness.
The cooliciousness. Yeah. Now I know I could stop by midway on my home. That's about halfway. It's a little over half.
You got it.
Halfway coming home, and I can shoot and be coolicious.
You can shoot and be coolicious. Absolutely.
All right. That's awesome.
How about a question from Gary in Potosi? Now, Potosi's further south from St. Louis than where we are, but certainly within range.
Absolutely.
And no pun intended. Can I be taught how to pack my own bullets via your shop? If not, where can I?
Oh, that's a great question. We don't really do reloading in our store for a couple reasons. Our retail store is actually just packed to the gills with firearms and all kinds of new equipment and guns and so forth. So you have to have special, actually, storage licenses, and it has to be signed off from the fire marshal to, you know, have all these powders and all these different things in the store. So that was one reason we didn't go there. Second reason is on our public range, we always want to lessen the variables of chances of people doing things that can get hurt. And reloading is really an art, and there's a finesse to it, and there's people that are very good at it. I have a Marine that works for me, and that's all he does is reload his ammunition. But when it comes to shooting on our range, we don't normally allow that. And the reason is, and I've seen this over and over, I know you guys can't see on you know, the radio, but there's three major ammunition failures. There's a hang fire, a misfire, and a squib load. The most dangerous one probably is the hang fire, which is like lighting a firecracker fuse, and there's a delayed firing of the gun. So you're going along, boom, 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 and click, nothing happens. I have literally seen people turn the gun and point it at the side, and I was standing behind a girl training one time, and she looked down the barrel.
Oh,
so we want to lessen the amount.
The Looney Tunes.
Yeah, we can order reloading supplies. If somebody wanted us to order something for them special, hey, I got no problem with that. We want to give you good customer service, but we don't normally have it in the store. So just give us a call, and we can set that up for you.
Here's another thing that leads into that, and that is, with a lot of the changes in regulation, I'm going to say registration processes and stuff, is there new laws on the book as far as registering some equipment for reloading?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. Now,
Hillary
Clinton has tried to pass a lot of things with actually getting the bullet casing serialized and having bullets serialized. And thank God that didn't go through. They pushed for that in 2009 really, really hard. That would do a couple things. Probably put a lot of the ammunition manufacturers out of business, and it would raise the cost of ammunition so high, nobody would do it. If everybody had guns and nobody
that would
could
be their
ammunition.
Desire, though, would be to drive the prices up so high.
Absolutely.
We can't afford it. That is a new way to avoid the Second Amendment, by the way.
Yeah, and you would see a black market probably come out of that with people doing reloading and doing things subvertly, trying to, you know, keep those costs.
Well, yeah, let me see. You've got a number or a mark on that thing, and I want to frame you. It gets somewhat easier now, doesn't
it? Exactly. It's very problematic.
Matt Gummersall in tonight from Sovereign Arms LLC, and Greg Harned, myself, Kevin Harned, will be right back after the break to answer Barb's question from Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome back to Truth Matters. As tonight, joined with Matt Gummersall, we've got Barb from Lexington, Kentucky. What is it you've got on your hip tonight? And yes, I mean the gun.
Yes. Should I turn to the camera?
Yeah, go ahead. The camera is...
Sure. This is my general rig that I carry every day. Is that on there? This is a Glock 21 slim frame. I carry it in a Blade Tech level 2 holster, so I'm not going to draw my firearm out because it is loaded, of course.
It is set up with a Storm Lake barrel with is threaded. We do sell suppressors, and we use suppressors quite a bit over at the store. And this is a 45 caliber. And then my backup gun is another Glock and a 45 caliber, a little smaller. I've only got two that you can see. Everybody comes in the store and says, "Do you have two guns?" Only two that you can see. So
Josie Wells is what we call Matt.
And of course, we have our taser and our double mag pouch and our handcuffs and so forth. So, yeah.
And that's
my rig every day.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Barb, I hope that took care of that answer. I'm glad you pointed that out because I was really afraid to ask him. He's armed.
You know, one of the things that and we've kind of touched on it before, and that is the response that you get in some places.
Sure, absolutely.
Is there anything before we get any further into Tony via Facebook? We're going to get right on your question in just a minute, but I'd like to ask Matt about experiences, you know, how are you received most of the time?
Well, I've got a great Walmart story. Everybody loves Walmart. And we've got posts on opencarry.org, great website, too, by the way. The guys that have done opencarry.org have taken a lot of time to go through state laws. They're not lawyers, but they're very thorough in going through trying to show you what municipalities you can open carry in. And they're great Second Amendment right gun advocate guys. So I dress like this every day. The store's, you know, 5 minutes from a Walmart. I go in to buy baby stuff for my wife, the kids. You know, my wife has me going in there. And I walk in just like this, and I always try to take my sunglasses off so I don't look like the Terminator or something walking through the door. And the greeter gives me this look. Like, I just know she's going to call the police or something. She just makes this face like, oh, my goodness. And I look at her, and I smile, "Hi, ma'am, how are you?" And I walk back, and I'm in the baby aisle. All of a sudden, I hear the radios and all these different things. And we think he's back here. We think we find him. So one of the little general manager, little gal, comes over, and she goes, "Sir, can we speak with you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. Hi, I'm Matt from Sovereign Arms. How are you?" And she says, "Sir, I don't think you can be in the store like this. Are you a police officer?" I said, "No, I'm the owner of Sovereign Arms right down the street here, and I, you know, do bodyguarding, executive protection things, but no, I'm not a police officer." And she says, "Well, I don't think you can be in here." And I said, "Well, ma'am, are you the manager?" And she says, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Are you familiar with Walmart's corporate policy in regards to open carrying inside Walmart stores?" And she just drew a blank. She didn't know what to say. And so I said, "Well, it is Walmart's corporate policy that there's no prohibition of open carry inside Walmart stores as a whole unless that's changed, and that should be your current policy." "Well, I don't know. I need to call someone else." So she calls someone else, and this other lady comes out, and I'm polite to her. That's the biggest thing. You got to be polite.
Right.
Okay?
Well,
be respectful. And so the lady comes out, next lady, and she says, "You know, I don't think you can do that." And I said, "Well, ma'am, here's my card. I own this gun store, shooting range, everything down the street here. Are you familiar with your own corporate policy?" "Well, no." And I said, "Look, I'm trying to buy some baby food for my baby. I got to get down here. I got employees leaving at 5. I got to be there. So unless you're going to arrest me, I need to leave." And she kind of looked me up and down. She goes, "Well, I'm not going to try to arrest you." I said, "Well, that's great." So she goes, "But we need to know what's, you know, if you can do this." And I said, "Ma'am," you know, she goes, "Could you wait? The general manager's here. Could you just wait for the general manager?" And I said, "Okay, I will wait for 2 minutes for the general manager." 2 more minutes, you know, 3 minutes goes by. Here comes this little guy. He's walking out, big smile on his face. He looks at me. He goes, "How you doing?" I said, "Hi, sir. How are you? I'm Matt from Sovereign Arms." "Hi, I'm Daniel." I said, "Sir, has Walmart's corporate policy changed in regards to open carry in Walmart stores at all?" And he says, "No." And I said, "Are we good?" "Yeah. See ya." And we just turned around and walked away. It was great. So
there's an education in another kind.
Right.
You know, and that would be the workers at Walmart.
Sure.
Even.
Absolutely. So, yes, I get looks. Now, I don't mind if people say something because first of all, I'm polite. I'm articulate. I'm professional. I understand the laws, which municipalities allow open carry, which ones don't. And a lot of times I'm on private property where I have business relationships with the owners of different places that I go, and they have no problem with me open carrying in their stores. But, yeah, I do get some people, well, when we sat down to eat that one night,
right
across the street here, and she was a little taken back at first.
Yes, she was.
And I was able to just talk to her, articulate the legalities of open carry, and it pacified her, and then in the end she was very comfortable.
And also the fact that just by talking to you and your demeanor, that she wasn't threatened.
Yeah. You can't respond. Unfortunately, we had a bad incident in Maplewood that happened where a guy responded in a way that, you know, it just set people off.
Right.
And even though he might have been
right,
you have to keep cool. You got to continue to be polite.
And sometimes you'll look for people to actually incite situations.
Absolutely.
Especially whenever they feel they're right, and that's not the proper course to take. Tony and this is by Facebook. My father has a service revolver, Smith & Wesson, .357. What kind of value does that gun hold, and what is it worth money-wise at this point?
Sure.
It was a guard, and welcome to Antique Roadshow.
There you go. Tony, I would love to be able to answer that question. I can't give you a good answer. I have been in the firearms business for about 4 years, particularly selling new firearms. We did about $1 million in new sales last year. We've very rarely taken trades or do anything that's antique. There is a blue book of guns that is available on Amazon. If you look that up on Amazon, the other place that's really good, you can look on GunBroker or Guns America and type in what you have and search for it. And if anybody actually has that, you can kind of feel the pulse of the market with what's currently going on there. And that's a really good way to find out what somebody would really give you for something that's currently, or that's an older gun that
right.
would
sure.
be on that current auction.
Solid advice.
Thank you.
Matt, one other question, and it kind of comes off of your last story. Brett from Creedcore. In the live chat channel, she wants to know, well, actually, she makes a statement, but you can't conceal and carry inside of Walmart. How does that work?
Well, actually, you can.
Okay.
So what I was talking about was open carrying. So I stood up earlier and displayed my wares, so to speak. So I had the firearm completely open to where you can see it, and that's why.
And there is a difference.
Yes, absolutely. When you're concealing, the gun is under your clothing, and generally you can't see it. You shouldn't really be able to detect it. And as I said earlier, there's kind of an art to concealing. If you are trying to conceal and you're doing it very well, it gives you quite an advantage if you ever are attacked to be able to quickly present the firearm. So, yes, if you have your concealed carry permit, you can conceal in many places throughout the state of Missouri. Probably primarily the ones you can't is a stadium that's over 5,000 people seating, any federal building, any governmental building, schools, things like that, and there's a few more. We probably don't have time to go into them all. But, yes, you can conceal carry in Walmart. You can also, with a permit, will qualify that, you can also open carry in a Walmart that is not against Walmart's corporate policy.
There you go. And thank you very much. Appreciate the question, Britt. Kelly from the Two Guys Talking TV stream.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
I want to know what you think of the very sad events regarding children being killed by guns recently.
I'm very thankful that
terrifying
you asked that.
And tragic. Yeah. How and what could have prevented these things?
I am very, very thankful that you asked that. I was actually hoping to get an opportunity to address that in light of the tragedies. We have a product that is called a safety bullet. We have exclusive rights to it for a year in 4 counties of Missouri. This particular bullet is not a real bullet. It can be loaded into the gun, and it has a little primer, and it has a plastic tip on the end, and it has a pin that goes in the middle of the bullet. If a bad person gets your gun, pulls the trigger, a child gets the gun, pulls the trigger, the firing pin will hit the back of the primer. This thing expands inside the breech of the gun, inside the barrel, and you cannot move the gun at all. That is a very effective thing that we have, resource that we have.
Now, you're talking about if somebody overtakes you and takes your weapon.
Or if a child would just find it and get it out. Now, here's the thing. There was a horrific, horrific tragedy with a state trooper here. It makes me want to cry. I talked about this at our last course last week, and I almost burst into tears thinking about this. So, sir, this is no disrespect to you. If a child has a long enough time to play with a gun or to find the gun somewhere, something bad is going to happen.
Right.
I mean, that is just the bottom line. We sell these little hand safes that are less than $200. You can put your hand on top of the safe. You press in your code. There's no way a child is going to figure that out. It is extremely fast to get your gun, and you can keep it loaded in the safe. They're very small. They can be bolted to the tops of counters and nightstands. They can be welded into the trunk of a car. They're extremely fast. You can open it in about a second to a second and a half, which is probably almost as fast as most people can actually draw their firearm.
Right.
I'm sure that anybody that has had a tragedy wishes that they would have invested that $170 investment than to lose a child. So I mean no disrespect by saying that. It's a horrific thing, but the only safe place for your firearm is in a holster on your person under your immediate control if you're the operator and you are well-trained in firearms handling, or unloaded in your safe if that's how you choose, or loaded in your safe. But nobody can have access to that. It has to be designated. We have biometric safes that we sell that read your fingerprint.
Right.
They're another $100.
Right.
No child is going to get in that.
Sure.
Only my wife and me and anybody else we program, and you can get in that.
Now, here's something else. It might be another angle that Kelly meant, and she may have been referring also to the Norway event.
Okay.
And that, is, in many cases, too, I mean, I kind of compare that to somebody walking in a church, too, and shooting the participants, you know, in the terrorist event that recently happened.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, I mean, you know, I'm sure that they had, in Norway, the policemen do not even normally carry firearms.
Yeah, and I actually, when I went to bodyguarding school at Executive Service International in Colorado, I had some guys from the Bermuda that were there, the police, and they're not allowed to carry also. We live in the greatest country in the face of the earth. The Second Amendment and our Constitution, I think, is a gift from God. And I think, you know, firearms put in the hands of responsibly trained persons, civilians, not just military and police or governmental figures, but an armed society that's well-trained, watches out for each other, protects them. And that goes all the way back to the Book of Nehemiah. And that's one of the things I base my whole business on, that we watch out for our community, we watch out for one another in our homes, our loved ones, and we make sure that we're protected so people can't walk in and do things like
personally,
that.
Personally, Matt, I think I would have liked those children's chances a lot better had you been on the island. And there's another case. I mean, there's another example. We want those well-trained, well-educated individuals with the proper training to carry those firearms.
Yeah, and to kind of bring that back into something that I do, we do offer church security nationwide. I go to churches and we train people.
You guys are
firsthand experience of what has happened. It's a very biblical principle, and there's lots of scripture that I can say to reinforce it. But the bottom line is, and it comes to that heart attitude that we were talking about, we can't be temple bullies in a church. We have to be there because we love our church, we love our community, and we are willing to lay our lives down to protect our flock and the people that we come there with to worship from somebody that just walks in and just mows everybody down.
By the way, Fred Winters, which was the pastor of the church that was killed in Edwardsville during the service, his wife Cindy has agreed to come on the show, so she will join us in studio.
That's awesome.
Sometime over the next month, probably. I'm not sure exactly on the date. We will we'll touch base on that. We're going to have to close things out. I enjoyed having you on tonight.
Always a pleasure. I wish we could just go on and on. I love getting together with you guys. It goes really fast.
It really does. And if
we're going to get you back on.
That we would like to go ahead and assist the listeners again is to share your information with them.
Oh, thank you very much. Again, my name is Matt Gummersell, owner, senior firearms instructor, and executive protection agent with Sovereign Arms LLC. We're on the web at www.sovereignarms.com. We're also local here in Missouri, 636-287-8821, 636-287-8821, and we're here to serve you.
You
don't show up, we're going to make you hold the targets on the range for one of our classes.
Dad used to do that.
All right.
but now you got the coolish
of personal refrigeration.
I know
devices.
I have a sanctuary on the way home.
That is like awesome. We are definitely going to link to that video.
No doubt.
And hopefully get her on some of our own video in there because we do need to get in there and try out the range.
Excellent.
Yes, we
would love to have you.
Thanks, Matt. Once again, we're closing things out with Matt Gummersall of Sovereign Arms LLC. Again, out of the St. Louis area, but he does ship anywhere.
Nationwide, yes, sir.
Nationwide. Matt,
you're
bless
welcome.
You.
Thank you.
Have a safe
God bless
trip
you guys.
Home.
We appreciate it.
We certainly appreciate every time that you
always
come in.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Come back and see us. I've got more questions.
I'm ready when you are.
Thanks, Kevin Harnett, for the rest of the gang.
Father, forgive them, for they know.